WVW Broadcast Network is pleased to present the Pry Report with Dr. Peter Vincent Pry. Dr. Pry was an intelligence officer with the Central Intelligence Agency and was responsible for analyzing Soviet and Russian nuclear strategy, operational plans, military doctrine, threat perceptions, and developing U.S. paradigms for strategic warning. Dr. Pry is Executive Director of the Task Force on National and Homeland Security, a congressional advisory board dedicated to achieving protection of the United States from electromagnetic pulse, cyber warfare, mass destruction terrorism, and other threats to civilian critical infrastructures. Dr. Pry has also served on the staffs of several congressional commissions. Due to his expertise, he's been a guest on numerous national and international radio and television programs, such as Life, Liberty, and Levin, with host Mark Levin on the Fox News Channel, Lou Dobbs Tonight on Fox Business, and the BBC made his book War Scare into a two-hour TV documentary, and his book Electric Armageddon was the basis for a TV documentary by National Geographic. Dr. Pry has written numerous books on national security that include Blackout Wars, Apocalypse Unknown, Electric Armageddon, and War Scare, Russia and America on the Nuclear Brink. And now, here is your host, Dr. Peter Pry.
Welcome to another edition of the Pry Report, where our focus is on national security issues. I have a few big recent developments to talk to you about. First, there's an article, Russian military article that's been put out recently, highly credible article that describes non-nuclear EMP weapons in the possession of Russia that they could deliver, by long-range missile and paralyze our Minuteman ICBM force, paralyze all of our nuclear retaliatory forces without a nuclear attack. I've talked before on the show about super EMP weapons. These are nuclear weapons that are designed to put out electromagnetic pulse. And in a sense, they are really non-nuclear because they're just using nuclear energy to generate the EMP. They don't generate any of the other effects associated with a nuclear weapon, like radioactive fallout or thermal effects or blast, just the EMP. And with these super EMP weapons, the EMP Commission, on which I served as chief of staff for 17 years, warned that the Russians could win a nuclear war just with those. It would only take a few of them. They could detonate the weapons at relatively, well, we would consider it at high altitude, say 50, 60 kilometers. Over the six strategic bomber the six ICBM wings and the three bomber bases and the two ballistic missile submarine ports and a few critical command and control nodes like NORAD headquarters, Washington, D.C., and they would fry the electronics. They would make it unable to retaliate because the electronics and the missiles and the bombs, the command and control systems would all be fried. And this attack would be an electronic attack. It would be clean. It wouldn't kill anybody, really. So they've already had this capability to do it by means of nuclear weapons for a while. But now they also have non-nuclear EMP warheads that can do this. They'd need more of them. They'd need one warhead per missile silo. There's 400 missile silos, 40 launch control facilities, NORAD headquarters and a few other command and control nodes, the three bomber bases, the two ballistic missile submarine bases. So instead of using, fewer than 10 non-nuclear EMP weapons, they'd need about 500, of these non-nuclear EMP warheads to be able to paralyze us. And that's significant because in Washington, the mythology, the fear of nuclear weapons is so great that there's this mistaken belief in Washington that the Russians share our fear of nuclear war, that we consider it taboo, that they consider it taboo, just like we do, to actually employ nuclear weapons. And so we foolishly have not been taking this seriously as we should. Russia's threats to make nuclear attacks against us and our allies. But with this new technology, you know, they could threaten to take out our nuclear deterrent and the nuclear deterrent of our allies without using nuclear weapons. And that's a new, would be a major new development that would knock the props out from under the theories of mutual assured destruction, the increasingly frail and discredited theories of mutual assured destruction, you know, which are supposed to keep the totalitarian superpowers in check, but they obviously are not in check. You know, as they have acquired advantages over us in nuclear strength, they have become more and more aggressive. They are not being deterred. You know, they do not share our view that nuclear weapons are usable. So that's a new technological milestone, hardly got any notice in the Western press. And it's credible because we know that the Russians have got the most advanced non-nuclear EMP weapons program in the world. They had a big lead over us during the Cold War, and they continued their lead in the post-Cold War in this kind of a weapon. You know, basically, how does it achieve an EMP without a nuclear weapon? It's got a high explosive generator. And unlike the nuclear EMP weapon, which would be detonated, you know, at high altitude, 50 to 60 kilometers above the target, this thing would go to ground. You know, the EMP field radius for each of these weapons is not as big as for a nuclear weapon. You know, it's only in, like, probably got a 4-mile effective radius. But that's plenty in order to cover missile wings and bomber bases and ballistic missile submarine bases and the like. And so you'd need more of them, you know, to do it. And you'd do it at a lower altitude, you know, much lower altitude, you know, maybe even just a few kilometers over the target, you know, to put the, to maximize the effects of the EMP field. So that's part of the bad news. Another reason to fear, you know, what I call a blackout war, which I think more likely than a nuclear war. I mean, I believe a nuclear war is the possibility of one happening now with Russia, China, or North Korea has never been higher. But I think before they would go to a nuclear war, they would try winning this way, you know, by electronic warfare against our forces and against their civilian electric grid. And by the way, these nuclear, whether you use a nuclear or a non-nuclear EMP attack, that civilian electric grid is going to collapse, you know, because it will be exposed to the EMP also. And all the critical infrastructures that keep us alive will also collapse. Food, water, communications, transportation systems, you know, fuel systems, all of it, banking and finance, all of it, you know, would go down. And the EMP commission on which I served calculated that if we had a nationwide blackout that lasted a year, we could lose up to 90% of our population to starvation, disease, and societal collapse. We would, in effect, cease to exist as an electronic civilization, you know, and become just a zone of chaos, not a society or a civilization anymore, just a zone of chaos. Now, the bad guys know that, and they're counting on that too, because they want to put an American president in a dilemma that if they decide to do an attack, nuclear EMP or non-nuclear EMP, you know, which would probably be coordinated with cyber attacks and physical sabotage as well. They want to put an American president in a dilemma. Do we go to World War III if Russia attacks us, for example, or China or North Korea? Do we go to World War III with the remaining forces that we have that still work, you know, which are going to be few and far between and extremely disrupted? You know, so we'd be going into World War III with both boots off and both hands tied behind our back, a war that we would almost certainly lose to defend the sovereignty of our European and Pacific allies. And by making that decision, the president would in effect be sacrificing America, you know, because the alternative and what he should be doing, you know, is using those few surviving forces, whatever still is left that works, to try to recover the electric grid as soon as possible and recover the other life-sustaining critical infrastructures as soon as possible so we don't have hundreds of millions of Americans dying and so that our civilization doesn't go under. If a president is loyal to the Constitution and his common sense, that's the path he should follow. And the bad guys are counting on that, that we will choose to try to save our lives rather than engage in them in a World War III for the interests of foreign nations, for foreign allies, even though we may have given them security guarantees and the like, that our self-interest will prevail and that will enable them to prevail. I've been talking about these threats, you know, for so many years, and I also wanted to share with you a conversation that one of the smartest men in the world recently had, Dr. William Graham. He's the free world's foremost expert on EMP. He was the chairman of the EMP Commission and my boss for 17 years. He was President Reagan's White House science advisor. When I was in elementary school, Dr. Graham was a young defense scientist who was on the defense science team that discovered the EMP phenomenon. When we first discovered it back in 1962, in the aftermath of the Starfish Prime high-altitude nuclear test that knocked the lights out in Hawaii, and nobody knew why. You know, Dr. Graham started working on EMP from its very beginning. He laid the foundations of EMP science. You know, much of the protection that our Department of Defense has against EMP, you know, is due to Dr. Graham's efforts across his professional lifetime. And he's always considered this to be the greatest threat. And I agree with him, of course. And the one to which our electronic civilization is most vulnerable and that we urgently need to address. Because we can address it, and it doesn't even cost that much to address it. But Washington is so broken and has been broken for so long that they are not addressing it. We've convinced presidents, the EMP Commission convinced President Trump to sign an executive order to protect our country against EMP. Before President Trump's executive order, Washington passed on a bipartisan basis a bill called the Critical Infrastructure Protection Act that directed, as a matter of law, that the Department of Homeland Security should be working on protecting our electric grids and critical infrastructures from EMP. In 2020, on a bipartisan basis, Democrats and Republicans came together and passed in the National Defense Authorization Act. In effect, they incorporated Trump's executive order into that and said, we, the Congress, agree with this. Federal government, go forward. We're doing it the weight of law, so it's not just an executive order. You have a duty to protect this country from EMP. So it's not like Congress hasn't tried to do its job or the White House hasn't tried to do its job. And even Joe Biden did not cancel this Trump executive order. You know, according to Biden, they continued to implement this order. And Biden, in his spending, has allocated hundreds of millions of dollars. Now, it's not to actually protecting the grid, but hundreds of millions of dollars to do additional research on EMP. So in this context, I mean, you know, that gave me some hope that maybe under the Biden administration, even under the Biden administration, feckless and incompetent as they are, that we might make progress, some progress, even if it's a slow progress, before we get hit with an EMP. But Dr. Graham, a couple of weeks ago, had a conversation with Jen Easterly, who's the director of the Critical Infrastructure Security Administration. She's the top person, the administrator of CISA. And that is the civilian agency that's most responsible for protecting electric grids and other critical infrastructures from EMP and cyber warfare and physical sabotage. Had a conversation with her and her senior staff. And Dr. Graham impressed upon them, again, tried to impress upon them the importance that CISA be giving high priority, which they're supposed to be doing under the law and under the executive order, that CISA should be giving high priority to protecting our nation from EMP. But the reply was, you know, we have bigger fish to fry. You know, that there are more important, more immediate threats that we need to address. And we don't think EMP is that big a threat either. They actually said that to Dr. Graham. After all the EMP Commission reports, all the work by the Department of Defense over 60 years proving just the opposite, you know, they're still clinging. That's one of the most demoralizing things, that in the course of that conversation, it became obvious that the threat assessment that the current Department of Homeland Security is using for EMP is the same threat assessment that the Obama administration came up with. This is a bit of a story. You know, when the EMP Commission delivered its reports back in 2008 that said this is what you must do to protect the country, we felt pretty confident that Congress and the White House would follow those directions, because that's what happens with congressional commissions. That's why you appoint them, you know, to tell you what to do, and then you're supposed to implement those recommendations. But the Obama administration was so anti-nuclear, it didn't like the idea of the EMP threat, you know, which is an existential threat. You know, it didn't fit into their narrative about how nuclear weapons are unusable and we don't have to worry about the use of nuclear weapons. You know, mutual assured destruction will work just fine. And what they did, they played really dirty pool under the Obama administration. And a handful of so-called scientists, they're not scientists, they're not real EMP experts, but bureaucrats, you know, who profess to be experts, but they really aren't. They hadn't spent professional lifetime studying the EMP problem. In fact, they didn't even know the basics of it. They wrote some highly classified reports on the EMP threat, basically debunking, so-called debunking what the EMP Commission threat assessment was, so that they've tried to make the threat go away analytically within the Washington bureaucracy. And at the same time, they classified these reports at such a high level that very few people could actually read them to discover how bogus they were and how bad their reasoning and how bad their arguments were. And and so that's why no progress was made during Obama, and no progress was made during the Trump administration either in terms of the actual technical fixing of the grids, because these clandestine reports, these classified reports were out there undermining those efforts all the time. You know, people would come in and say, well, look what the EMP Commission has concluded, and look what the Russians and Chinese and North Koreans are writing about. And then, you know, the bureaucrat would say, but look, we've written a report. This is a real story, but don't tell anybody. It's really classified. So they tried to keep it secret, and they tried to hide those reports from us. When the EMP Commission came back in 2016 and 2017, they tried to hide those reports from us. But we got wind of them, and we read those reports and debunked those reports. And one of our recommendations was those reports should be recalled and canceled because they're false. It's not just that they have a different point of view. It's not a legitimate scientific disagreement. Those reports are propaganda. Those reports might as well have been written, you know, by Russia or Chinese or North Korean propagandists in a way to try to deliberately keep us vulnerable to EMP. But Dr. Graham discovered in talking with these clowns that are in charge of our national security that they haven't recalled those reports. Those reports are still out there, and those reports are still having a profound influence on our failure to act. So that's the bad news I wanted to give you today, you know, these recent discoveries and how we are careening toward a disaster at the hands of our enemies, you know, because of the gross incompetence in Washington and the failure of the Biden administration to really act seriously and do something about the EMP threat. And now I wanted to switch gears and last, and what time is left, to talk about a broader issue. Because, you know, I've been talking about the narrow issue of EMP. But look, Americans who have followed the sad history of Washington dealing with threats of all kinds, we know that EMP is not an isolated story. You know, they failed to deploy space-based missile defenses to protect us against nuclear missiles. You know, they completely misunderstood biological weapon threats. And we have idiots like Dr. Fauci in charge. They can't even protect the country against something as mild as the coronavirus. you know, let alone all these hundreds, literally hundreds of billions we've spent over decades to build up a biological weapons defense establishment. It's also supposed to extend into our hospitals, you know, to protect the American people from biological and chemical weapons of mass destruction. And we're not prepared for any of it. Not prepared for the cyber attacks. We're not prepared for simple physical sabotage. Washington is at a point of civilizational crisis, I think. We're at the point of civilizational crisis that the founders feared, you know, and was much debated in the Federalist Papers, which are worth going back to read. You know, there was a great debate when the country was first founded between the anti-Federalists and the Federalists. You know, when the Federalists, Madison, Monroe, Alexander Hamilton, you know, believed that we should have a strong central government in Washington to manage our foreign and defense policy, and so that we would truly become one nation, the United States of America. The anti-Federalists said, we just fought a Revolutionary War to get away from monarchy. You know, if you set this up this way, eventually we're going to become a monarchy, an authoritarian system again, where we'll be ruled over by an aristocracy in Washington. And the Federalist Papers are basically all the reasons why that supposedly won't happen, because of all the checks and balances that have been written into the system. But guess what? I mean, the system does seem to have worked for a long time, but I think we have arrived at that crisis that the anti-Federalists were warning us about, that we have become, in effect, a monarchical, corrupt aristocracy run out of Washington by fools who don't know what they're doing, you know, and all the earmarks of a decadent political system and a decadent social system, all of it emanating, you know, from Washington, you know, like a radioactive sinkhole that's poisoning our society and our civilization. And I think all of you know that. You don't need to be told that by me. You know, people who have just grown up in this country and have seen this country go from being a great country in our one generation to becoming what it is, you know, which is not. It is a great country because of its people and because of the ideas it represented. But is our government great? No, it is not. Are our political parties and our political leaders great? No, they are not. So I ask, but, you know, not just the EMP issue, but all these gamut of issues. What is necessary to save ourselves? What is necessary to save us? You know, and I'm not talking from a technological point of view, and I ask whether it's possible for us still to be saved. You know, because it seems the magnitude of what has to be done is so great that it's hard to imagine any political party being willing to do it. The break with the past will have to be so radical. I'm talking about doing things like, for example, really draining the swamp. I mean, if the Department of Homeland Security is so incompetent that it's going to eat hundreds of billions of dollars and not protect us, why do we need it? It seems to me that it's putting us at risk. You know, an example of one of the radical things that needs to be done is probably to abolish the Department of Homeland Security. We probably need to abolish the CIA and the FBI. You know, it's been proven during the 4 years of the Trump administration, anybody who's had a casual interest in these matters, that the CIA and the FBI launched a coup d'etat, repeated coup d'etat attempts to undermine the Trump administration, to destroy his presidency, to put his supporters in jail. Now we've got this fake January 6th committee thing trying to make it illegal to be a religious conservative. That if you have those points of view, you're a potential domestic terrorist. You know, so, you know, I think in order to survive, it's not just a nice to have, but we probably have to abolish the CIA and the FBI. And that wouldn't mean that we're without military intelligence. All the military services, the Navy, the Army, the Air Force, the Marines, they all have their own intelligence services. So why do we need a CIA when every one of our military services has its own intelligence apparatus? We don't need the National Director of Intelligence. That whole office, the NIO for National Intelligence, should probably be abolished, because it too has proven to be, you know, a propaganda machine for the left, claiming that President Trump was a Manchurian candidate. And they even knew it was false when they said it. What about the Department of Justice at the federal level? Is it really a Department of Justice? You know, it's being turned against conservatives and Americans and been highly politicized. They're arresting mothers in their home for protesting the teaching of critical race theory and transgenderism in schools. You know, and that's considered like some kind of terrorist. In other words, what we really need to do, I think, is acknowledge that the anti-federalists were right and say Washington has got to be trimmed to the bone. You know, Washington has got to be, you know, all these functions that we've piled into Washington, the Environmental Protection Agency, the Department of Education, the Department of Energy, Department of Homeland Security, they all got to go. We need to disarm the federal government, so that doesn't pose a threat to our First Amendment and Second Amendment rights. You know, they're talking about disarming the American people. It's the feds that need to be disarmed. They're the threat to the freedom. You know, you may disagree with me. You may think that the normal political process will still work. And I pray to God you're right. But I don't think so. I think these are the kinds of radical changes that will be necessary to turn this country around. Really radical changes, you know, where we finally acknowledge that the anti-federalists were right. We need to put states' rights front and center. You know, the country, you know, most governance should come from the states and from the local levels. You know, get the power back into the hands of the people so that the people can govern themselves according to their state and regional and local values too. But is it even possible to make that happen? I mean, that if you agree with me that these kinds of radical changes are necessary, how realistic is that we could achieve these changes? It's hard to imagine. It's just hard to imagine that we could achieve these changes. They're so radical. I mean, even I'm given some hope by guys like Ted Cruz, who wanted to abolish the IRS and get rid of the income tax. That's the kind of radical surgery that is necessary. I'm given hope by guys like Governor DeSantis, you know, who are fighting the radical left at every turn as governors. But even if people like that were elected to office, there are enough of them. Are there enough of them? It doesn't seem to be in the Republican Party, you know, to tear down the establishment, to tear down the federal establishment, which is what we're talking about. You know, it's becoming, you know, an unelected aristocracy that not only has power over our lives, but isn't even willing to protect our lives. You know, a place for highly paid, grossly incompetent, stupid people who think they're geniuses. The guys like Dr. Fauci, the guys like Jan Easterly at the Department of Homeland Security that doesn't want to do anything about EMP. Well, that's where we are, my friends. I'm just sharing my thoughts, and I've been ruminating about this since the 4th of July holidays, about where we are and how do we get out of this. And that seems to be what's necessary. But I'm afraid it's hard to imagine seeing it come to pass so that we can reverse all of this. Well, those are my thoughts, and I thank you for tuning in and listening again to another edition of the Pry Report. I hope I'm wrong. I hope the normal political processes can turn these things around and fix America again, but I doubt it very much. Thank you for listening, and God bless you, and God save all of us.